So let's take some questions from the audience. I don't even know where to start. So
I'll kick it off here. Cody asked, and I don't know if this is most true, but it said, Chris is always negotiating on the defense, but what if he was on the offense? If he was the kidnapper or trying to get the car in 60 seconds, how would you do that? That's an interesting twist.
Yeah, well, you never be so sure of what you want that you wouldn't take something better.
Mm.
So the more focused you are on a goal, you know, the more, like if I want a car or whatever it is, you know, if I'm on offense, I can explain to you intellectually, I can explain to everybody intellectually, inarguably, why there's no way you can know what the best outcome is. There's no way that you know that what you want is the best outcome. And emotionally, people are like, I know what I want. Okay, fine. But I know what I want. I mean, people get too goal-oriented. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't go on offense. Mm-hmm. Because the more you go on offense, the more goal-focused you are, the more tunnel vision you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tease out a deal, number one. I know that I don't know the best deal. So I got to be careful about offense. Number two, how is the other side going to perceive me going on offense? I need a long-term relationship. I got to be real careful about short-term gain for long-term pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know that we go on offense. Plus, you know, I'm much more interested. You don't got to go on offense if your focus is on your elves, your easy, lucrative, and fun people. You don't need offense then, because then the collaborations are natural.
I want to open a wine and spirits experience shop in a suites showroom. Can I have some advice, please? So basically, how to negotiate the rent, Chris?
Yeah, well, like any other business deal, first of all, price is only a term. And the other side is going to be collaborative with you, depending upon where it's taking them and depending upon what threats they see in the current environment. So if your approach with your landlord from the beginning is, how can I be the best long-term tenant you ever had? Now that changes the game a little bit. So how's your approach? If you just start out with, I want more for less, here's how you come off. Selfish. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about you. How do you come off to them? I mean, how do you really come off to them? How do you build their future with a different deal? Because if you're just looking to cut my throat, why should I give you a deal? But if you're looking to make my life better, if you're looking to be more elf for me, easy, lucrative, and fun, now that's a different conversation you can engage your landlord in. I constantly text, where I live now, I'm renting. And I'm every time I am reminded of something in a house that I like, I text my landlord and tell him how much I love the house. You know, I got this gorgeous backyard. If I get up in the morning and I'm drinking a cup of coffee, I will shoot, because I'm fun. I will shoot my landlord a message saying, like, man, I love this backyard. I am so grateful and so happy to be here. I genuinely am. But I also know at some point in time, I'm going to have to ask him to do stuff for me. I found out recently that my rent is way under market. Way under market. I got a pool in my backyard, and with health clubs being closed, the market prices on pools in a backyard are through the roof because people can't get to pools otherwise. My landlord is not making any moves whatsoever. I just came up on, I've been here a year, no increase. Mm-hmm. But I'm constantly demonstrating my legitimate appreciation for where I live because I legitimately appreciate it. And I like making them feel good about me as a tenant. And I know I want every break that I could get. I don't want them punishing me or fed up with me.
Mm. Good point. Good point. It goes a long way to just be nice to people.
It really does.
You know, making people feel good. You know, people like doing business with people they like.
Yeah.
So this question is, when looking for small wins with humans, how are you listening by watching people to see where they are at and have an observational proper response with mirroring or anything useful to get them suggestively open?
All right, it's easy to know where they're at. I mean, that ain't hard. Everybody knows that. Your gut instinct tells you where they're at. The issue is what do you do with it? In most cases, you know, you just feed back what you're seeing. You know, we call this a cold read. Or if they look unhappy with what you just said, say, you look unhappy with what I just said. You know, show them that you see them and help make them more self-aware. You do. I mean, you do. What you want to do is get them to change. And your most likely gut instinct, if they are visibly unhappy with what you just said, you're going to want to say, look, I don't want you to be unhappy with this. You know, the denial to the observation is a 2-millimeter shift that gives quantum changes in your results. Go from denial to observation. You'll be shocked at the impact that it has on people.
Okay, I just lost my spot to where, because more things got posted, and I just lost the question. So, and by the way, everyone, there's no way I'm going to be able to ask all the questions of Chris that we have, so I'll do the best we can here with just a couple more. Gregorio, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. What's your version or tactics to closing or asking for the business? What tactics do you employ to assert your position? How do you deal with apathy from prospects who you must engage with? If you need me to break those out, I can do that.
Well, let's go for with the closing one first, right? So we don't go for yes ever. It's getting to yesable proposition, the yes momentum. That's bad. How did I close Herjavec? With no oriented questions. I closed them after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's hard to close anybody after 1 o'clock in the afternoon for legitimate reason, decision fatigue. Yes is a trap. You're trying to trick me into something. What are the unintended consequences? What are the hooks that I don't see with yes? If we get to the point where we got to close or we have to issue some sort of call to action, it's always with a no-oriented question. Do you disagree? Is this a ridiculous idea? Are you against? Those are the three. And I think I used two of those in the email with Herjavec. Are you against? Do you disagree? Is this a bad idea? Is this ridiculous? Is this offensive? If I got to close on a dime, it's going to be with a no-oriented question. Always, always use no to close.
How do you transform how can I be the best long-term tenant to the request for the rate reduction?
I'm probably going to go for a no-oriented question. But my next move is going to be to summarize. And we've also got something that we refer to as the accusations audit, which is just calling out every negative that you could think of. So if you're asking for a rent reduction from your landlord, what are they going to think of you? They're going to think of you as being cheap. Not what you want them to think, but what are they going to think as a result of your ask? We go proactive and we call it out in advance. So you're probably going to think I'm cheap. You're probably going to think I don't care about you and your problems. You probably don't think I'm going to be around long enough for this to be worth your while. That's why we call it an accusations audit. Do an audit of all the possible negative responses.
Yep.
And call them all out. You're probably going to think. Call them out in advance. It will astonish you. Again, I like the word astonishing. It's going to blow your mind the amount of ground you can cover quickly by deactivating the negatives that are either there or before they happen.
That's great. So I'm going to try to ask ones that I don't think you've already addressed. So June, my daughter is having a challenge with her college, which messed up her class registration because of their mistakes. Yet the college is refusing to fix the problem and now refusing to talk. Apparently, they think they can bully her and refuse to take any actions. This is a private school. How do you go about bringing them on the negotiation table?
Yeah, accusations audit. First of all, what's your means of communication? It sounds to me like they're not returning your phone calls. They might not even be returning your emails. But I you got to be careful with your emails because everybody wants to write the Magna Carta in an email. You want to write an encyclopedia, and nobody reads long emails. You don't read long emails, so why do you want to send them? But if I had to do that via email, I'd say, I'd start out with, on the subject line of the email, you're not going to like what's in this email, you probably won't open it. My next line is going to be, this is going to sound harsh. My accusations audit is going to be, I'm sure I seem like every other whining, complaining student or parent of a student or helicopter parent, or you know what's going through their mind. Call it out in the email. Then how do we move forward in a way that we don't hate each other as a result? Hmm. And leave it in their court.
That's great. I'll ask one more and then we'll wrap up here. Where did it go now? This is interesting. This is from Ava. Chris, how do you negotiate with self when you have competing interests? How do you negotiate with yourself in your own mind? How do you make decisions?
You know, a good sounding board is remarkably helpful to clear your own thoughts. And a sounding board could be writing it out. A sounding board could be, they say that, you know, supposedly people that talk to themselves are smarter. That's because you're hearing yourself out. It's amazing your thoughts in your head, how confused and jumbled they could be. And as soon as you say them out loud to somebody, you're like, wow, the answer is obvious to me. So this happens to us all the time. We'll be in what we call an IDS, identify, discover and solve. I think identify, discuss and solve sessions in my company's meetings, IDS session. And somebody will lay out what they think the problem is, and merely laying it out verbally, they come to the answer themselves. Because the act of getting the thoughts out of their head, whether or not they're just articulating them, changes things. So, and that's why people find good sounding boards so effective. So find a way to just sound the ideas off somebody. Even if you don't have a person to sound it out, and be clear that you're just sounding yourself out. You're not looking for advice. You will find that you can clear out your own thoughts really well if you can just get them out of your head in some way.
Chris, where do they get more of you? Where do they follow you? How do they, anything else that you'd like to talk about that you haven't, that other than the movie and things that you're working on? And where do people follow you? Where do they go?
Now, the gateway to everything that the Black Swan Group has to offer is really through our complimentary newsletter. Send a text message to the number 33777, Black Swan Method, 3 words. You get a text box response asking for your email address. The email is concise, which means it's not going to wear you out reading it. It's actionable. And it's a gateway to everything. It's a gateway to the website. It's a gateway to training we're putting on. It's a gateway to the free products. I mean, the newsletter is the best way to stay in touch and keep up with us.